Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
Churches. Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13, we'll read the letter to the church in Philadelphia. This is the word of the Lord. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This is the good word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, for your sacred scriptures, we give you thanks for the holy canon of scripture. We thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit to guide your church in the receiving of this inspired word from the pen of your apostles and prophets and evangelists and ear witnesses of our risen Savior Jesus. Bless this message, we pray. We pray that you would illuminate it in this generation as it was so inspired thousands of years ago. We ask this in Jesus' name, and let us say, amen. Every day is a new opportunity to serve. Sometimes I come home from a very busy day and just before I enter the house, I have to remind myself, Steve, you are going in there to serve. Sometimes, and you kids who went on the mission trip know all about Pastor Steve, I wake up in the morning with cobwebs in my brain. And after a few moments, I have to clear them away and I remember, oh yeah, I'm here today to serve. Sometimes I have a job to do and I don't enjoy doing that job very much, but I have to remind myself, Steve, this might be your only opportunity to serve. Make the most of it. You know, the reason some people don't recognize opportunity when it comes knocking is because opportunity often comes disguised as hard work. Paul says in Galatians 6, verse 10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people." In Ephesians 5, 16, he says, "Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." And so today, dear church, is your day to serve. Are you ready for your opportunity to serve? Well, the church in Philadelphia was ready for that opportunity to serve. Now, certainly they could have offered many excuses not to be ready to serve on that fine day around the year AD 90 when the mail courier arrived at their door with a letter from John. If this letter was delivered from church to church, as scholars, Bible scholars, believe that it was, then this courier would have just traveled southeast for 28 miles from the city of Sardis to visit this fair city of Philadelphia in Asia Minor. One historian by the name of Strabo tells us that this ancient city of Philadelphia was filled with earthquakes, volcanoes, and tremors, but certainly not from this letter, because this letter was filled with unbridled praise, much praise for these parishioners. However, we learn from the letter that the church was low on strength, and that there was much opposition to this church, and that the church was facing an uncertain future. Nonetheless, Jesus tells us that he, Jesus, had opened a door for this fledgling church that nobody could shut. Nobody. Because, dear church, remember these words, no one can ever steal your opportunity to serve. No one. No one can take that privilege away from you. You can always serve. And as long as there is an open door for you to serve, as long as Christ sits at his Father's right hand, as long as the Lord tarries until that final day, the opportunity to serve remains before you this moment and this day. So don't ever, can I say this again? Don't ever let anyone talk you out of serving. Never. Don't let them say you're too old. Don't let them say you're too young. Don't let them say it's too big, you can't do it. Don't let them say it's too little, it's not worth doing. You serve. As long as the door is open, seize every opportunity to serve in the name and through the power of Christ. And so this brings us to our first point from our text. And the point is this, an open door of opportunity, an open door of opportunity. Let's read verses 7 and 8. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. Some of you don't know this, that when I was a teenager, I attended a church in Elyria, Ohio, called Church of the Open Door. And I remember learning, why was the church called Church of the Open Door? And it was based on this very passage to the Church of Philadelphia. And what exactly does this open door mean? What is the open door? What is this door whom John tells us is a door opened by Jesus that no one can shut? Well, I believe it's the door of opportunity. Now, at this point, we pause to remind you that the rest of the Bible teaches and warns that the door of opportunity will not remain open to us forever. One day, the door closes. One day, our opportunity to serve in this life ends. Your opportunity to spread God's glory, to make a mark for God, to bless your neighbor and bless yourself. One day it's over, it's done. Luke 13, verse 24 says this, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. But in the meantime, today, Sunday, May 7th, 2017, I have good news for you all here. The door is open. The door is open. Kids, I'm reminded one night we came home really late from vacation. It was 1 a.m. and the house was dark. And we got our luggage out of the car and we were about to open the door and we found that it was locked. And so we went to the front door and we tried to open that door and it was locked. And it was 1 a.m. in our quiet little Hudsonville street, and here we stood outside. What are we gonna do? Until my resourceful son, one of my sons, John, found that one of our sliding windows was unlocked. He slid through the window and he opened up the door and we were like, whew. We'd not lost our opportunity, just by a hair. And dear church, the same goes for you. You have not lost your opportunity to serve. And there are several reasons. Firstly, because the door of salvation remains open today. Now, I must confess that the door of salvation is not exactly what John has in mind at this moment in the verse. But we have to pause to think about what the rest of Scripture teaches about salvation being like an open door. Sometimes Jesus would call it a small gate. Other times Jesus would liken it to a narrow path that leads to life. Here we see in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, where Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to life, that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it." And that's the good news I announce to you today. That door, that gate remains open. You can walk through that gate today by repenting of your sins and trusting in Jesus Christ and receiving thereby living a new life. You can receive it today. You can be born again. And Jesus in that same verse warns us there is another door. And in this door, it is a wide gate. There is room for everyone through that door. You can believe anything you want and walk through that door. You can do anything you want to do and walk through that wide door. Whatever you are into is A-okay through that door. There are no boundaries through that door. It is very wide, but I urge you, don't go through that door. So many have already. So many continue to go. You go through that door that Jesus calls the narrow gate. You ask him for pardon and power. You accept him into your life. Join him in the fellowship of his church. Go through that door. Now, I praise God that I speak to people of whom many have walked through that door. You many here have professed that faith, vital faith in Jesus Christ. And so had the Philadelphians. They too were born again. And so by opening this door for them, Jesus is telling them, not necessarily Church of Philadelphia, be born again, for many were, but he is telling them to take the opportunity I, Jesus, am giving you to serve. In other words, walk through the door of salvation, and then you walk out that door to serve your neighbor. And for the church at Philadelphia, Jesus had good news. Their door to serve neighbor was wide open. You know, every generation has a unique door through which to serve. As I get older, I tend to think the world is more complicated. But really what that means is there's just new sets of unique problems facing us that was different than when I was a kid. and they're all filling my brain, and it's about to explode. We have so many local problems. We have so many national problems. We have so many global problems unique to this generation that would have made my mamaw and papaw and grandparents as yours just roll in confusion. And we must ask, in light of all of these opportunities, how can we best serve? Well, the city of Philadelphia had an open door, Jesus says. And what's interesting is the church at Philadelphia, historians tell us, archaeologists tell us, they were nestled on a busy Roman road, a very busy road. In other words, it was a road that many travelers came across. They could speak to those travelers. They could speak Greek to those travelers as Greek united the Roman Empire. And they could travel the roads themselves to preach the gospel. The Bible had been translated into the Greek Septuagint for them to share. Rome had grown tired of its old gods. Pagan superstitions were now passé. The conditions were just right for the church of Philadelphia to serve. And conditions, dear church, are just right for you and me to serve today. I would urge you not to look back at a golden age. Don't look back at an age when you were once active in your service to Christ. Looking back to a golden age when, wasn't it great when we used to volunteer to do this and we used to volunteer to do that and we used to open our hearts and our homes in that ministry in that day and in that time. Oh no. And don't look forward to a future eschaton where one day you will finally walk through a door of opportunity to serve. You know, when the conditions are just right, the door is open today. You know, we can hardly get enough counselors at Love in the Name of Christ these days. We have families in our church who need a visit or a phone call today. Last Sunday, I could hardly get out of the Kent County Jail. I had never seen such a receptive audience. And it was amazing. Those who were with us were shocked at how receptive this audience of 50 men and how many of them just wanted to linger and talk and pray and receive a good word from the Lord after the service. We could hardly get home on time. The same door is open to you today. Why does the church live by that silly 80-20 principle? You ever heard that before, the 80-20 principle? 20% of God's people doing 80% of the work. Why? There are doors open to serve. So you walk through that door that Jesus has opened for you and the church. Paul had that experience in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. We read it earlier. He was busy preaching the gospel day and night, and he said these words, "A great door for effective work has opened for me." When he was under house arrest in Rome, there were still opportunities to serve while he was imprisoned. He wrote to the Colossians, chapter 4, verse 3, "Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message for which I am in chains." Cedar Church, the door is open. The door to serve never closes. The doorbell is ringing. Let's not hide in the family room with the TV volume turned up, hoping that it goes away. Walk through the door. This brings us to our second point this evening. The first, open door of opportunity. The second point, obstacles to the open door. Obstacles to the open door of service. Let's read verses 8 through 10. He writes, "I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you." Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. Some of you young kids, when I was about your age, some of you really young ones, I remember my mom and dad took us to a little country church for worship regularly. A little country church in the cornfields of Lorain County, Ohio. And do you know what I most remembered about that tiny little church? It had an outhouse. And if you wanted to use the bathroom, you had to go outside to a wooden building with a moon or a sun or something on it and go use the outhouse. Now, that was a very humble church. That was a tiny church. That little tiny church was not very significant. It had little strength. How can little churches like that, how can little churches in general, with little worldly strength, muster courage to walk through an open door and serve? Apparently, in those days of the first century in Asia Minor, tiny churches with little strength was par for the course. Tiny churches with little strength was the norm in Asia Minor. When you read 1 Corinthians, you begin to see Paul describes where most of the converts came from. They came from where? The lower ranks of human society. They did not belong to the intelligentsia. They did not rank among the aristocracy. They did not come from the leading families of the city. Most likely they were undereducated, unsophisticated, insignificant citizens locked out of Philadelphia's high society. But that did not stop them from walking through the open door. They did not suffer an inferiority complex and say, "Why bother?" They did not use their weakness as an excuse. "We hardly have enough money to keep the doors open." Rather, they walked boldly through the open door of service because they remembered this truth: God prefers to display power through human weakness. If God did this any other way, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, you and I would start taking credit for it. We would. And God will have none of that. The gospel is all of God, all of grace, all of Christ, a supernatural event. And so God chooses to use weak people and he opens doors. Now listen to me. He opens doors of service for the weak so that they can serve. It's God's way. That's God's way. It's not man's way, it's God's way. And I feel that every time. Last week was jail ministry week for us at Cedar. We work with Forgotten Man Ministries, a delightful Christ-centered organization that helps us churches get in behind bars and preach. And every time that two or three or four of us guys from Cedar Church walk through the doors of the multi-million dollar Kent County Jail, it makes me feel so little. That building is so impressive. It is run so well. And yet the gospel teaches that the true rehabilitative power that resides in that place is on display every Sunday when a handful of simple preachers proclaim Jesus Christ in those pods. And really, when we go there, it's embarrassing. We gather for prayer around Chaplain Bill there in the foyer, and we circle up, and you look at us in the circle, and we are just a ragtag band of, you know what I'm talking about. Some of us are short with no hair. Some of us have bellies over our belts. Some of us, we're afraid the wind's gonna blow them away if a breeze blew through there. They're so old. We are a sorry, embarrassing bunch. But we pray before we go. And God is always happy to open the door of opportunity to serve for those who are faithful but are very weak. And he'll do it for you. No, he prefers to do it through people like me and you. We also see other obstacles in verses 8 through 10. They were opposed. That's what verse 9 tells us. They were opposed. And the way John writes it is that Jews who were really not Jews, in other words, they were not acting very Jewish. They were not living out their true Judaism. They were behaving so unseemly and so violently, aggressively. They were a synagogue of Satan. A synagogue of Satan. And they opposed the Church of Philadelphia. Do you ever get scared when people oppose you? I do. I shake in my boots a lot. Some friends say, "Oh no, you're not. You're kind." No, I'm just a good faker. I really am. When I am given a task that overwhelms me and terrifies me, and I want to do it for God and do it for Christ and see people come to faith, and people are skeptical, or they're critics, or they're opponents, or they're naysayers, or they're doubters, I get scared. But the Philadelphia church had learned the fourth law of thermodynamics. The greater the heat, the greater the expansion. When the church is pressed down, the gospel spreads. When you and I and the church as a church walk through the door of service, I promise you, you're going to get flattened. You are going to be opposed, but you will also get noticed, and your Lord will get noticed, and people will wonder, what is this message you are willing to be flattened for? Besides, we learn a reward is coming. It is. One day, we learn in verse 9 that the adversaries who opposed the Philadelphian message would come and kneel before them and say, "You were right. You were right. And now we believe." I say, that's worth it. That's worth it. To be opposed as you walk through the door of opportunity, and you go weeks or months or years, but the day comes when those you serve say, "You were right." God be praised. Because I'll tell you one little trick, dear church. How do people say it? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And it makes a joyful thud to the glory of God. But there was more obstacles. Not only were they opposed, we see in verse 10 that their future was uncertain. Jesus talks about an hour of trial that was coming. An hour of trial that is coming, that is on the horizon. We don't know the details, but all we know is that in the scriptures, the horizon of trial is a common theme. It's coming. It's a future one, and it is a present one. And dear church, it has come and is coming in our nation today. Hostility towards the Christian faith only continues to heighten. Contempt for conservative religion only thickens. The hour is coming, dear church, when it is really not going to pay for you to be a Christian. You will find sooner or later, one day, your Christian faith being a massive social liability for you, where your faith won't help you get that great job, where your faith won't help you get that nice girl, where your faith won't help you get that handsome guy who will make some good money. Why follow Jesus? Why? If he doesn't make life easy. And it's because of that great Christian paradox that whoever saves his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for Christ's sake, the same shall find it. And here in verse 10, Jesus promises deliverance for his church who walks through the open door of service. He promises deliverance from the final hour of trial for those who live for him. And so here, this church of Philadelphia, with so many handicaps, a church filled with weakness, a church with opposition, a church with an uncertain future. And it was to this church Jesus opened the door of opportunity to serve. This brings us to our final point, a promise. And the promise is this, that those churches who walk through the open door of opportunity for service will be pillars in God's temple. Let me put it to you this way, if you become a pilgrim in this life, you will be a pillar in the next, a pillar. You know, I'm gonna close with a story. I miss my Uncle Dick LaFountain so badly. Uncle Dick was only 5'4", 5'4". Even I could look down to talk to my Uncle Dick. And in his final years, he lost his strength. He got ill. And yet, regardless of his lack of stature and his weakness of strength, Uncle Dick was a pillar in our family. When Uncle Dick arrived, people would stand to greet him. Nieces and nephews always gave him a hug or shook his hand because he radiated love. He expressed the concern of Christ. And just people always wanted to be around him. If Uncle Dick summoned a family gathering, as many as could be would come and would be there. And I know it gave him great joy. Well, what the scriptures teach, dear church, is that to all of you who with him and with the church of Philadelphia will walk through the open door of salvation and service, Christ will set you on his foundation. He will plant you upon his cornerstone. He will shape you into a pillar immovable with an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. One that no Philadelphia earthquake could topple. One that even old Samson could not knock down. After all of these years of being weak, Christ will make you strong. And it will bring you great joy. Let all God's people say, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity, the open door that Jesus opens for the church. It's not the open door of luck or fate. It's not the open door of happenstance or chance. It's the door Jesus opens. And Lord, we pray that your church, in our weakness and in our weariness and the opposition we face from the world, the flesh, and the devil, that we would not tremble, but that we would walk through that door while today is called today. We thank you, O Lord, that you are coming soon, for on that day, all the weakness that has so afflicted your church will be overcome. We look forward to being pillars with new names in the new Jerusalem. We pray, O Lord, that that would give us hope to rejoice even in today's weakness. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We humbly ask these things in Jesus' name. And let us all say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.